Hello, everybody. This is Kenny Evans and David Berry, and welcome to It's What You Keep. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you learn how to keep more of the money you earn so you can turn your income into lasting wealth. All right. Hey, Dave, how are you doing today?
I am doing good, Ken.
Fantastic. It's good to hear. It's good to hear. Another day to share some wisdom, hopefully. Fantastic.
Well, at least try.
Yeah, at least try. Let's give it a shot. So today, I think we're going to talk about creating a budget. So, you know, in previous episodes, we talked about, you know, knowing where, you know, when we're talking about trying to become more financially stable and eventually wealthy, we want to know where we are. Knowing where you are is a great place to start. And then, you know, defining what we consider to be successful so we can create goals. So what does our life look like? What do our finances look like? So if you don't know where you're going, again, any road will do. So definitely we need to know where we are and where we want to go.
Right.
So we talked about setting a big goal and then creating small attainable goals. And you went over an acronym, SMART. Could you remind us what SMART is about?
Right. Yeah. In the context, we were talking about what goals should look like. And because a lot of people create goals, or you know, a lot of times I create goals that are not very specific or not very reined in. They're very wide. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at creating goals, we should have a kind of a format. And the format that we were looking at is to have them be SMART goals, you know, and that's just an acronym, SMART. So, and the S in SMART stands for specific. So the goals have to be specific because it narrows your focus. If you have a very wide goal, it's not very reined in. It's good to say, well, I want to be self-sufficient, you know, eventually.
Right.
But that's very specific, and it doesn't help you focus in on specific tasks to accomplish that goal. So it should be very narrow in range or very specific in nature.
Okay.
And the M stands for measurable. It should be something that you can measure. So if you create a goal where you want to reduce an expense by a certain time, well, that's something that you can actually measure. You see what your expenses are now. You look at them at some point in the future, and now you can measure the difference, or something that you want to achieve, a task that you want to achieve. Like, let's say I want to have a budget done by, you know, next Tuesday. Well, that's something that's measurable.
Okay. You know,
do you have one now? No. You have one after? Yeah. Well, you can measure that.
Right. Gotcha.
And the A is achievable. You know, something that you can actually do. I think last episode we talked about being, you know, 4'11 and trying to dunk a basketball. Well, maybe that's not achievable. But if you're 6'2, yeah, here you go.
Right.
R is realistic. You want to make sure that it's something that can be done.
Okay.
You know, well, I'm thinking last time we talked about defying the laws of gravity.
Right. And so not wanting to do that.
Sure,
yeah.
Right. You want to make sure it's realistic for anyone. And the T is time bound. You want to make sure you put a time limit on achieving this particular goal. Because if it's open-ended, you know, you can never start and or just take, you know, years to complete it. And then it just never gets done.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yep.
Now, if you set a time limit, that actually makes you focus on completing that particular goal.
Yeah. I think that one is super critical too, because I in my life as a project manager, one of the things we still talk about is that people will fill the time you give them. In other words, if you say, okay, we have 2 months to do this, even if they can get the work done in a week, they'll take 2 months. They'll take 2 months. They'll take 2 months and 2 days. I mean, it was really a weird phenomenon. You hear about some of these really hard pressed corporate leaders who you tell them, oh, we can't do it in 2 weeks. And they say, no, get it done in a week. And then you find out, and then you press people and they get it done in a week. The founder of Apple, and I apologize, Steve Jobs was famous for that. He's like, I know you say it's going to take 2 weeks, and I know you can do it in 1 week, so do it in a week. And people magically would get stuff done in a week. So that time-bound one is so critical in actually moving forward. You have to set time. So I got it. No, thank you for reminding.
And you know, time, you know, setting time limits on tasks, it really makes you focus on getting it done.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, you know, sometimes people do this, or managers would do this. You say, okay, well, when do you need that data? And they'll say, well, sooner rather than later.
Right.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
What does that mean?
I see you when I see you.
Tuesday, right.
Sooner rather than later. It couldn't get more vague than that. That's a,
I know,
that's
right?
Yep, yep. So, yeah,
give I get me something it. To shoot for.
Right. Give me a shot. Yeah, give me, right. Makes sense. Makes sense. Okay, so I mean, once we know where we are, where we want to be, and we've set these SMART goals, I guess it's time to get to work. I mean, we've done I consider that first part planning, and we certainly don't want to get stuck in the planning phase, right? We have to start doing some work. So when we talked about making it to our ultimate goal, knowing that we're not there yet, we talked about trying to find money in what we are already achieving. Because remember, our thought is that with your current form of income, that you can still become wealthy, become financially secure without doing anything super magical. But that means finding money in the money we make to reduce and eliminate our debt and to start growing our wealth.
Right.
And I think that's where a budget comes into play. Right. So we have to create a budget that says, okay, this is how I'm going to start to build my wealth. So tell me, where will we start in creating a budget?
Right. And the first step is to decide that you are going to create a budget and try to stick to it. And so I did some research, just Googled some websites and see what people usually do when they first start creating a budget.
Sure.
And when I first started creating, I just thought this was a monumental task. I'm like, well, how do I know what to put down for this particular category?
Right.
I have no idea. Right. And so I set it aside, of course.
Of course. Well, yeah, that's the easy way. I mean, finish done, right?
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Right.
And so I looked online, and the first thing that people, and it's very simple. You look at what you're spending now, and then you start to categorize those. Because right now you are spending.
Right.
And what you tend to start with, you want to start with the big items that you cannot do without. Food,
Okay.
You know, your rent, you're paying for, any debt that you have. Those are things that you really cannot do without. Your transportation for your job, you start out with those items. You say, what am I spending on, my rent, my transportation? What am I spending on food? And then you start to categorize all of these items.
Okay.
What am I spending on, groceries, clothing?
Okay.
You look back and say, okay, well, usually some people to use 3 months. They look back 3 months and say they just total up everything that they've spent on gas and then divide it by 3.
Okay.
And that's your monthly spend on that particular item. Now, these things will vary because I think about, if I look back 3 months on what I spent on my electric bill.
Okay.
Well, if I look back 3 summer months, well, that's going to be huge because of air conditioning. Or what I spent on my gas bill, if I look back 3 months and those are all winter months. Well, when the winter months for me, you're down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, it got down to 50 the other day. I was really upset, really upset. But go ahead.
Right. So you can average 3 months. And if it's, something like electric, you can actually go back a little bit further. And though that, that information is available on your bills.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to see what you're spending now and then start to categorize these things.
Okay.
And then keep in mind that this is going to be a process.
Right.
These things are going to vary and change a little bit as you start to move forward. But you look at what you've been spending, and then you start to write these things down. And those are your major categories when you start to look at your budget.
Okay. Sounds like, I mean, that sounds like a solid first step. And, you know, again, it all folds back into knowing where you are. So this gets into the details of that, right? And digging into what am I spending? And it's important you said it, and it bears repeating. We don't skip anything here, because it can be easy to skip stuff. I mean, you know, it's you know, you'd say, oh, I don't do that often, or, and we often use, and it's one of the most used examples in discussing budget control is a cup of coffee. And some people say, you know, that's not that big a deal. Others say, you know, it can add up. And I'm in the add up camp, you know, because a $7 cup of coffee, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, $7. But if you do it every day, that's like $200 a month. It's over $200 a month. And that starts sounding like, you know, part of a car note or part of a rent. And I have been in situations where I was like, man, if I only had $200, if I only had $100. And it's empty coffee cups that have littered the last month or so. So definitely, I think that's a good first step. So what's next? What do we do? What do we do after we have categorized and at least started our list of what we spend on a regular basis?
Right. So now you and when you start to categorize, mm-hmm. you write down all of the amounts that you've spent, and be careful of the miscellaneous column.
Oh,
you don't want to have a huge miscellaneous.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Miscellaneous is like, you know. What would be like a miscellaneous expense, for example?
Those coffee cups.
Oh, the coffee cups. 10-4. Gotcha. Yes. Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Those coffee cups.
Yep. Because it's things that we spend without even thinking about it.
Right.
I mean, every day, you know, right around 2 o'clock or so,
yeah.
I go down to the candy machine in our building and I get a candy bar or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that candy bar cost me $1.85 for that candy bar. And you know, it's like, okay, it was only $1.85.
Right.
And so I get two. And then, you know, around 4 o'clock, I may get another one. Oh.
Fighting the sleep demons, man.
You do that every day.
Right.
It adds up.
Wow.
And so once you start to categorize these things, mm-hmm. you write down the different amounts. And then you start on, you know, the necessities, and then you get kind of, you know, drop down to the non-necessities, like, sure. you know, that coffee may be a non-necessity. Yeah. And then you start to look at, okay, where can I start to cut down? And what kind of goals can I set for these different levels? Now, right. there's some things that you can't do anything about, or like rent. Or right. a mortgage,
right.
you may not be able to, you know, cut down on that next month. But some of those lower level items, like the miscellaneous column, if you have one, or, you know, these coffee cups or eating out,
okay.
you know, or even these little candy bars,
right.
you know, maybe that's something that you can kind of start to set levels on to start reducing.
Okay. So got a good feel for what's going out. And I would think that, you know, maybe for some of us, the first time we actually look at that full number, it might be surprising, right? I mean, in terms of what you think you're spending, but I mean, it really does come down to if you run out of month before you, I mean, if you run out of month,
right.
run out of money before you run out of month, I think is how they used to say it.
Right.
Then clearly you, whatever that number is, it's too much. So, okay. So now, you know, you've got your expenses, you know what you're spending, you have a plan to capture anything in the future. What would we do next to create a budget?
So now you want to look at what is coming in.
Okay.
And these steps can, you know, can be reversed. And typically they're all done in the same activity.
Sure. Okay.
You know, you look gotcha. At what's going out, mm-hmm. you categorize what's going out, and then you look at what's coming in.
Okay.
You know, what your income. And most of us, you know, if you've got a fixed income, you get a paycheck, that's pretty standard. It's pretty right. continuous. But if right. you're in a job of sales where monthly, you know, it can fluctuate.
So like commissions and stuff like that, or bonuses, whatever.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. If that's something that, you know, that's your income stream
sure.
that fluctuate, then you take an average over, you know, 3 or 4 months.
Got it.
And again, you know, the next 4 months, you may have to adjust, mm-hmm. but you take an average of your income of what's coming in.
Got it.
And so now you know what's coming in. you know what your expenses are. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that your income can at least match or exceed your outgo.
Gotcha.
And so you take all of your expenses and take all of your income and make sure that, your income minus your expenses, you're in a positive. And then now you can actually begin to plan what to do with that positive. And then you plan what to do with, decreasing those expenses.
Right. So, I mean, Dave, isn't it possible, though, that my number's negative? I mean, one of the things I think we may have touched on in previous episodes is, credit cards tend to hide a lot of our, indiscretion, so to speak, right? I mean, if you're making less, if you're bringing in less than you are spending, then you are a negative. But if you've got, if you've got a credit card that covers that, then as far as the lights are still on, the rent is still paid, and maybe you think it gives you a false sense of security or a sense of security that you are doing okay. But the reality is you're not. And so is there something different you do if that number is negative?
Well, yeah, if that number is negative, and you're absolutely right, the credit cards can really mask your situation.
Sure.
Because once you start using your credit cards to compensate for the negative balance that you're running, mm-hmm. The only thing that's happening is that your debt is increasing.
Got it. Yeah.
And makes then sense. Eventually you're going to hit a limit on that credit card. And then what can happen is you just go get another credit card.
They do make it easy.
It just makes the problem worse.
They do make it easy. Right.
Oh my goodness.
Right, right. Okay,
so
gotcha.
If you're negative, now you have to start looking at, okay, so what do I need to do? You have to say, okay, I am not going to borrow money. I am not going to get a credit card, which is, taking out a loan.
Yeah.
At a huge interest rate.
Right.
You have to start looking at where can you cut back.
Okay.
And you start with that loan. You can't do anything with the rent or the mortgage or anything like that.
Sure.
But you have to look at those non-necessity items and start to try to cut those back.
Okay.
To where you are positive.
So we're doing this on paper, right? I mean, so we're writing this down. We've got.
Oh, absolutely.
And
you have to actually write it down, because if you try to do it in your head, you will miss things.
Yeah, of course.
And what you tend to miss is those little items.
Yes.
Because you can say, oh, I know I'm paying my rent. I spent this much for food, but that coffee, it doesn't come in. Those candy bars that I would get every afternoon, you don't remember those.
Or, right.
Or you've spent some somewhere else and you don't remember. So you always have to write it down. That makes it real.
Okay. Nope, I get it.
Makes it real.
And you mentioned starting with the small stuff. So, I mean, in the first budget you create, are you reducing all the categories that you can, or?
No, you're actually, so the first budget that you create, you're basically getting a picture of where you are.
Okay, gotcha.
And then once you get a picture of where you are, now you have to make adjustments and make lifestyle adjustments.
Lifestyle.
Actually get to where you want to be. So this is where your goal comes in.
Okay.
Once you have the budget, and then once you know where you are, now you set goals of where you want to be.
Right.
Because you may create your budget and find out that, wow, I'm not saving anything.
Yeah.
I'm just spending everything.
Right.
And so you say, well, I want to set a goal to save small amount, $50 a month. And so you cut back on something else so you can put that money toward, your savings.
And is that, do you think that's easy for a lot of people, or is that?
It is extremely tough.
What? It's supposed to be easy. So
because it's a lifestyle change.
Yeah, I get that.
It's doing something that we're not used to doing.
I agree. And don't want to do. I mean, frankly, if we're, the money people, you've heard this, and I know it to be true from this, I've seen it in my own life. People grow their lifestyle to their income, and usually beyond it, unfortunately, right? They want a little bit more. I've been following this father and son. They're pretty popular. Ray and Zach. They have a YouTube channel where they every day, and they've been doing it like for 4 years, still have right. material to talk about where they talk about they're in the cars. They help facilitate car sales. They don't own a car dealership, but they're like a middleman. But the but the dad used to sell cars for a living for over 40 years. And the name of the website is caredge.com. For those who want to check it out, I do recommend it. But they really dig into the way the car industry is one of the most, I don't know, I want to use a ridiculous word here, but they're egregious is one word, but they are like, that's where people make big mistakes in automobile. And it touches on what you're talking about here, where folks will buy or worse, they'll finance more cars than they can truly afford. And again, this is kind of like in the credit card category in terms of being able to finance something hides the real cost of it long term. And what they recently talked about a stat where people taking their cards for trade-in are on average right now, the average trade-in in the United States is $6,000 underwater. Ooh, wow. Meaning that the person who's trading their car owe $6,000 more than the dealer is willing to give them for the trade-in. And the way this gets addressed, if you don't have $6,000 to give them with your car, and it's talking about cars that someone's owned for 2 or 3 years, but on a 6 or 7 year car note, you've only mostly been paying interest, right? If you don't have $6,000 to add to the car you give them, they roll it into your next loan. Oh, wow. Which means you, without going into details of how much you get off on another car, you essentially start underwater on the new loan. and it just you know, snowballs from there until you can't trade it in and you're stuck with the car or whatever. So I guess, you know, just in the overall sense of things, as you get deeper into creating and following your budget, these are some of the things you need to look at is like, you know, your outgo and what it's really costing you and growing your expenses to fit your income is just like what we talked about time. If you give me 2 weeks for 1 week task, I'm going to take 2 weeks plus.
And, you know, I think that you make a really good point there, growing your expenses to fit your income or exceed your income. Because most of the time, you look at what your budget here. If you're underwater, you tend to think, well, I just need more money.
Right.
And you get more money and then your expenses increase.
Right.
And then you get more money and your expenses, because I look at, well, we did some research a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Where we looked at some of the NFL and NBA players that right. get these multi-million yeah. dollar a year contracts.
Yep.
And, you know, after they retire, many of them wind up broke.
Right.
After or filing bankruptcy or in financial hardship. Right. After making tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions.
Yeah,
of dollars,
hundreds of millions.
Some of them. And yep. you're like, okay, how can that happen?
Right.
Well, if you make bad investments, that's totally part of it. But that falls under the category of spending. Mm-hmm. So your spending will increase as your income increases. So it's just not a matter of getting more money. It's
right.
what you do with that money.
Yeah.
That's important.
I totally agree. That is the core of it, right? Taking what we have and making that make us financial secure, taking what we make today, and that means reducing what's going out, not necessarily increasing what's coming in. And you know, that has a self-fulfilling benefit, because generally speaking, and again, this is a gross generalization, but people tend to increase their income as time moves forward. If you mm-hmm. have gotten good at reducing or limiting or controlling your expenses, then you are naturally going to have more extra to save, to invest, if your expenses are under control. So instead of growing your expenses to meet your income starts growing and your expenses don't change or go down. That's a beautiful thing. and it tends to grow. So it sounds like in terms of creating a budget, the creation of it is easy. It sounds relatively easy. Know what's going out, know what's coming in. Subtract the two, or you know, add the two. One's negative, one's positive. You end up with a number, and then look at each of the categories and subcategories, I mean, of your expenses, and figure out where you can remove things and start off less painful, I guess is what you were saying. To start with something that should be relatively easy. I mean,
right.
Ultimately, you could look at, you know, your rent. I actually did that once, Dave. I was living in Chicago and I was renting an apartment. I was by myself, so I didn't, you know, I was living in a 2-bedroom, and I went to the apartment management and asked, could I move to a 1-bedroom apartment? I wanted to reduce my, yeah. And they told me no. They said, no, I mean, it would have been, you know, it's plenty of apartments, and they had 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms in this apartment building. And they said, no, they said, but we can move you to a bigger apartment. I said, whoa. They said, no, our policy is we don't move people down. You can move up, but you can't move down. I said, okay, thank you very much. When my lease came around, I didn't renew. And they were like, well, why not? I said, well, I found a cheaper apartment. And they're like, well, wait a minute. Is there anything we could do? I said, no, you had an opportunity to do something. And you told me no. Passed. And so thank you very much. I found a place. Because otherwise, I want, you know, the hundreds actually came to like $10,000 over the past year that I've paid you that I was the difference between me in a 1- and 2-bedroom apartment. And you couldn't help me. I have a nice day. And I moved to an apartment that was bigger, actually.
Right.
It was a little further away from downtown. But, you know, I was taking the train to work and everything else. So it worked out great. But the point is, that was a major thing. I was able to reduce that expense, but that required moving. And that, you know, may not be on some people's radar. That could be very hard, especially if you own a house, like if you, you know, have a house or townhouse or whatever, selling and something could be difficult. But I guess I just wanted to point out that there are extreme measures you can take, which are tougher, but definitely have a bigger impact on reaching.
You're right. And those extreme measures, like, because that's usually the mortgage or rent, that is the biggest bill
that we
have.
Yep.
And if you can do something like that, well, it's a big step, but it's the rewards are greater.
I totally agree. And, you know, talking about big expenses, you know, second one tends to be a car. That was another stat they talk about, is the average, I don't know where this number is, but it's a lot of people are paying over $1,000 a month on their car note.
Yeah. And yeah, with insurance. And
it adds up. And finding a way, if you're in a metro area like Chicago, if you're like living in the city, a lot of people, and in New York, for example, a lot of people don't have cars. Talk about taking an expense out of your budget. So again, those are drastic moves, but there's certainly just a lot of smaller moves that you can make in creating a budget. And then, like we talked about, the hard part is sticking to it. And that's a challenge that, you know, might excite some people and scare others, but it's definitely the way to go. So, yep.
Yeah, no, I think that sticking to it is something that it takes time. It takes effort.
Yeah.
But the payoff is great.
It's about keeping your eyes on the goal, right?
Absolutely. And when you write it down and start to track it and make sure you're staying within. And there are a lot of apps out there too nowadays that kind of aid in doing this. One day we should do a show on, you know, reviewing some of these apps and making some recommendations.
Yeah, let's do that.
But, you know, some of these apps can actually help you because it's mobile, you know, because we're spending money mobily.
Right.
And so we can actually use some of these apps to help us track and keep, you know, on track with our budgets.
There's got to be one out there that makes it almost fun, right? Maybe some in-game prizes. you know, right, they don't have to be monetary, exactly. But, you know, it's like, right. Hey, you did this, you did that. I know they have contests, like there's a language app called Duolingo that's
that
it kind of gamifies learning a new language, right? and the challenges and all that, you find yourself, I can't miss. I have to learn that. I'm sure there are, at least I hope, we need to look into that. See what that.
Yeah. On that Duolingo, it actually prods you every day. Oh yeah. You're not. Oh
yeah.
Up.
It, it sends up. You email. Hey, what's up? You're going to give up this streak you got. Make you feel bad. I'm going to find me that owl one day. I'm going to get him. Yep. No, that's great. Dave, that's a good plan in terms of budget creation. I think we've really covered it there. And the hard part, sticking to it, that we need to drive that home. We'll talk about it again in future podcasts, but certainly this is a good starting point.
Yep. Very good, Ken.
All right, my man. Well, I think we reached time here. I know you got a busy day ahead of you with the wife and kids. And I think my wife just left out to go shopping, which means that I'm going to have work to do when she gets back. That's usually the way it goes. Right. Look at this great thing I bought for you to install.
That's right.
You
know, so
it is what it is. Anyway. All right, my man. Always great talking to you. And I'll catch you next time.
Take care, kid.
Take care. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Please be sure to visit our website at www.keepitpodcast.com. That's www.keepitpodcast, all one word, .com. There you'll find links to websites and blogs related to building wealth and other useful information. You can also leave comments about our show and listen to or download all our shows after they air. Also, as a reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only, and should not be used as financial advice, as we do not know your specific circumstances and are not your fiduciaries. Please consult with your personal financial advisor before making any investments or financial decisions. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. In the meantime, remember, it's not what you make, it's what you keep.